All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, all the little ones can slip out. There is Tiny Tots tonight. Draw your attention to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll draw your attention tonight. Growing in grace. You know, it's every parent's dream that their children grow. It's every teacher's dream that the students grow. It's every farmer's dream that his plants and his garden and his fruit trees grow. I want to encourage you tonight, everybody in this room that is born again, that is saved, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. There's a time now for you to begin to grow in the Lord. Now, notice if you would in 2 Peter chapter 3, keep in mind, this is Peter speaking in verse 17. He says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things," we'll come back to that a little later, "before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked." In other words, that's not growing. Being led into that which is wrong and sinful, that's not growing. That's the opposite of growing. "Fall from your own steadfastness, from the place where you ought to be." Steadfastness is a place of strength. It's literally sterizo. It's to be strong and it's to be unmovable. So he says, look, we want you to be steadfast and unmovable, but if you're not careful, you'll get pulled back from that. You'll get pulled off of your anchor. You get pulled back off of your moorings. So notice, if you would, in verse number 18, he says, "But grow in grace." In other words, don't yield to sin, but grow in grace. So it's two parts. Don't yield to that which is in the wicked. Don't let notice he says, "Beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked." We can be led into things that, you know, we're not intending to do, but we just sort of get led in the wrong direction. He says, beware of that. And so tonight, this year, I'd encourage every young person to beware this year. Beware that you grow, that you don't get led the wrong way, that you don't get misled into distrusting your parents, to distrusting your teacher, distrusting those that are over you. I want to encourage everybody here tonight, husbands and wives, grow in your marriage. Grow in the Lord. Grow in His grace. Now, let's take just a minute. The word grace, charis, the original word, it's that which you don't deserve. It's giving you something that you don't deserve. Grace. Mercy is not giving us something we do deserve. It is whenever we've done something wrong and the Lord lets the punishment be less than it should be, we got mercy. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but you've been pulled over by a police officer and they look at you and say, you know, you were doing this, or did you know you didn't make a left turn up there and you weren't supposed to, or did you know you this, did you, and you might say, yes, I did, I just wasn't paying attention, I'm sorry. And the guy says, okay, give me your license, goes back and he checks to see if you're a criminal or something. He comes back up and says, okay, have a good day, watch your driving. You just got mercy. Now, grace is always you got something you didn't deserve. How many of you in school ever got an 89.5 or an 89.456 and the teacher gave you a 90? Or you got a 79 point whatever and they rounded up. They gave you grace. The Bible says, grow in the grace of the Lord. In other words, God is always good to us. Always. So it says, take advantage of that and become more like Him. Grow to be like Him. grow in His grace. Now, let's take just a minute. I want to give you four W's tonight that you can sort of pencil into your mind. Number one, you have to be willing to grow. I can't make anyone in this room tonight, I can't make a teenager or a husband or a wife be willing to grow. That's just saying, okay, Lord, if you want me to, I'm willing to. Okay, that's one step. In order for you to grow, you got to be willing. You got to be willing for the Lord to grow you. Sometimes that's with difficulty. Sometimes we grow up and become more mature with troublesome times. All of us in this room need to grow this year. Sometimes it's with God's great blessing. And by that, if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians. If you would, Ephesians chapter 2. And notice, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. You'll notice verse 4. Verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy. Now this is, He's rich in mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve. But for His great love wherewith He loved us, verse 5, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. You know what He's saying? That's grace. For by grace are you saved. So you and I didn't deserve to be saved. Nobody here deserves to be saved. Nobody on earth deserves to be saved. So it's by God's grace that you're saved. So notice He says in verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You and I are going to get to go to heaven and be with Christ because of His grace. Now, verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know what He's saying? His grace is to us in so many ways. His grace is rich. It has got all kinds of benefits to it. But one of them, and the greatest one, is the gift of salvation. How do we take that? How do we handle that? Are we growing in it? In other words, our sins have been washed away. Have you grown in assurance? Do you know you're saved? Have you settled in your heart that you're God's child? And I mean, I've had to go sit down with people that are on their deathbed and they just want me to come in and talk to them about their salvation. They're just unsettled in it. And they're just not sure. And then I have to go back to them and, have you received Christ? Yes, I did. When was that? And they go over the time and I say, well, then you know, do you believe God's word? Yes, I do. Do you believe God would save you if you ask Him? Yes, I do. Oh, that's right. So I really am saved. And then there's a peace comes in their heart. I want you to grow to the point when it comes, if that time comes for you this week, this month, in 50 years, you know every day that you're God's child and you're on your way to heaven, because that's one of the graces, that's one of the riches of His grace, is that you know you're His child. If you don't know, there's always this turmoil in the heart. Know you're saved. Know it's settled. Notice in verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. He's trying to get you to understand, my grace saved you. It's by grace that you're saved. So that's one of the riches of His grace. So you got to be willing. Say, Lord, I want to have all of the riches of Your grace. I want to grow into every one of those riches. I want to be blessed by Your grace. So tonight, when it says grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord, I want everybody in this room to be willing to be better today. Now let's take the word grow. Better today than you were yesterday. Better this January 6th than you were last January 6th. Now growing is that you're adding to your life. You're growing in Christ. You're growing in His graces. Now, notice with me, if you would, there's a willingness to grow, and everybody here's got to be willing to grow. No one can make you. You've got to be willing to grow. But you've also got to take it one step up. You can be willing to grow. Say, Lord, if you want me to grow, I will. It's up to you. It's almost like I'm hungry, but if you want me to be fed, you feed me. I'm willing. I'll open my mouth and chew it. If you've ever been to retirement home, there are some people, when they get a little old and stubborn, and you want to you need to eat, and so they'll that caretaker or that loved one will take the spoon and say, here, you need to eat this, and just they're not willing, and so they say, yeah, I'll eat it, and so you give it to them, they'll eat it. But then there's a word called I want to grow. It's a step up from willing. I want to grow. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians. Make sure I've got the right reference here. To 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is addressed as the want to. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1. This is 1 Peter 2:1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now, and to keep in mind, he says, let's lay aside all those things. Those are not the great riches of his grace. You got to lay aside those things. So notice, if you would, in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. This word desire is the word to want to. It's to yearn. It is, look, I really want to grow. I really want to be better tomorrow. I want to be a better husband this year. I really want to be a better wife this year. Lord, I really want to grow in my role that you've given me. Lord, I really want to grow as your child. I want to grow as a light for you. Everybody here, I really want to grow as a teenager, Lord. I really want to grow. This word, the root of this word, desire, is yearn. It's to really want to. But then it's got a prefix on it, epi, which multiplies it to where now I crave it. So let's read, as newborn babes crave the sincere miracle of the word, that you may grow thereby. Have you ever had a small child that's hungry? You got a bottle, and you get the little nipple near them, and they all over the place. They're desperate. They want it. That's this word. As babes in Christ. Now, every one of us can be considered babes in Christ in this passage. Notice what he says. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Anytime, anybody here in this room, if you ever said something you shouldn't have said, it was not nice about somebody, it's evil speaking. Anybody here that's got a brother or sister ever said something not very nice to your brother or sister? Don't raise your hand. Evil speaking. He said, so put all that aside and grow by using God's word, but you've got to desire it with all your heart. You have to have a craving for the word of God. You have to have a craving to grow more today than you were yesterday. Folks, could I plead with you, 2019, let this be the year that you grow in Christ more than ever. Behind my house, the neighbor, when we started building this house, he didn't want to see our house, so he put in some Leland cypresses, about 30 of them, about 4 feet apart, all the way down his fence line, which that's his right. Now, I was going to do it, but he did it and paid the price for it, so I was thrilled about it. I didn't have to pay the money. But I stand up in a certain spot in the room, and I have a picture of those Leland cypresses, and one of them is right at the bottom of his window. And so each year I take a picture of that, and you know, the next year it's at the top of the window. It's growing. It won't be long, and it'll be a wall across there. So I'm watching. Now, Leland cypresses grow to 40, 60 feet tall, and they grow 3 to 4 feet a year. Well, that's a lot. Well, I wish there were some Christians that said, I want to grow. I want to go 3 or 4 feet a year spiritually. I can't make you do that, but I can pray for you to do that. I can earnestly want for you to grow. I want you to grow. I want every woman in this room to grow in your role as a wife, and more so as a child of God, as a daughter of God. I wish you would grow and say, Lord, I want to grow in your grace. All the riches of your grace. I want to grow. I want to be more like you than I was last year at this time, than I was last month at that time. You know, one of the things that I don't like about certain plants is they're slow growers. You learn the lesson. When we built our first house in Leesburg, I like Colorado blue spruces. How many of you know what they look like? It's sort of a gray tree. It's really pretty. And I got a Colorado blue spruce and used that as the centerpiece in my front yard, in front flower bed at the house in the first house we built in Leesburg. And did not check to see the growth pattern of that tree. And I went back there probably 10 years later, and that tree must have been 25 feet tall. It was taller than the house. It looked terrible. It was growing. So the next thing I go back, they cut it down, took it out, and planted other things. It just took over. You know, I would drive by my house, and I'd see that Colorado blue spruce. You know what I wish? I wish people would drive by Temple and see you and say, that reminds me of Christ. Are you growing like that? Now, there's some that are growing like a Baccarat blue spruce. That's the ones we have around our church. They grow to 10, 12 feet, and that's it. A blue spruce can grow to 80 feet. But, you know, to make things just look nice, we'll get the Baccarat and make it a little smaller. So I never forget, Jeremy says, I said, I want to put some more blue spruce. No, Dad, not one of those that covers up the house. I said, no, it's a Baccarat blue spruce. It's a smaller tree. It doesn't grow that much. You know what? I don't think God wants any Christian in this room to be a smaller tree, to do nothing, to just grow up to a certain height and stop. He wants you to be growing in grace. It's present tense. You never stop growing. You never stop being kinder. You never stop being sweeter. You never stop being more thoughtful. You never stop adding to your life. You never stop. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to 2 Peter. I want you to see something here. Notice 2 Peter. And I want you to see this. Now, there's a willingness to work, and I want to encourage everybody here to be willing, but I want you to take it the next step and say, I really want to. I'm desiring to. But then I want you to take it to the last step, and I want you to work at it. Now, you may want to, but you got to put in the work. You may want to make an A in school, and you desirously want to earn that, but you've got to work to get there. And so today, if you really want to be the kind of Christian that God wants you to be, you've got to work at it. Well, notice, if you would, in verse number 4. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. By these promises, God said, I'll make you like me. The divine nature. You can have the grace of God in your life. You can have the nature of Christ in your life. Now watch. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you've got to escape the corruption in the world through lust by saying, I'm going to grow in Christ. I want to be in the nature of Christ. What is Christ's nature? He's forgiving. He's loving. He wants the best for you, even to his own detriment. Notice with me, if you would, in verse 5. And beside this, beside being in the nature of Christ, he says, now watch this, giving all diligence. There's that same top word, give it your best. A desperation. Giving all diligence. Work hard at it. Work every day at it. Have a goal of it. Add to your faith. And then he gives a list of several things here. Virtue. And that's moral integrity. In other words, that's somebody can come up to you and try to get you to do something that's immoral, and you say, not on your life. Hey, I want to show you this picture, and it's an immoral picture. It's a pornographic picture. No, not on your life. I don't want to be a part of that. You have virtue about you. You're out with someone, and you're at work, and you're working with this man or woman, and it's part of your job, and you're meeting with them. You're trying to sell them on something. Their company represents something. Keep your virtue. He said, add it to your life. You and I add this. It's not something that is just given to us. We have to work at it. Notice he says, work at adding virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. That's the word of God. That's reading the scriptures. That's knowing about the Lord. You're not going to get knowledge of God's word unless you read it. You have a plan, a master plan. I'm going to read God's word this year. I'm going to get up in the morning at a certain time. You ought to have a time you get up. David said, early will I seek thee. So find a time when you can get up and you can spend time with the Lord. You can spend time with him and you can read God's word and say, Lord, help me to grow in what I get. Learn how to assimilate the words of God into your life. When you read something, the Holy Spirit touches your heart about it. Make that your day's effort to add to your life. That's what he said here. Add to your faith. That's salvation. That's the grace that God's given to you, eternal life. You've got that. One of the graces is knowing you've got that. Do you know you're saved? And then after that, add to your faith. Look, add to your life virtue. There's a lot of people. Do you know homosexuality is not virtuous? Adultery, fornication is not virtuous. You have to throw your virtue away to do those things. You have to throw your virtue away to think of those things. They're immoral, according to Scripture. So you and I in this room, you can't think about someone else of the opposite sex. He says, whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after hath committed adultery already in his heart. The standard for holiness and virtue in God's sight is not do you do it, it's do you think about doing it. The standard gets raised because he wants you to be real from the inside out. Are you virtuous tonight? Are you adding knowledge tonight? I don't go around this room. I don't know of any of you that have your devotions in the morning. I don't know if any of you. I've not seen anybody in this room. But I can tell you this. There are no great Christians that are not doing what this says right here. And I'd back up to you and ask, who wrote this passage? What was the name of the man that wrote it? What was it? Peter. Okay, what was his great flaw? Impetuous, flying off the handle, up and down and up and down. Oh, Lord, we'll die for you. I don't know the man. Blankety blank blank, I don't know who that is. Up and down and up and down. And how does anybody follow that? That man said, add to your faith. God, through the Holy Spirit, allowed him to write, hey, let the nature of Christ be in you. And beside your sweetness and your grace and your mercy, add to your faith the knowledge of the Word of God. So everybody in this room, that's one of the reasons we started Joshua Club in Patterns, so you can memorize God's Word, so you get an opportunity to study the Word of God a little bit more in depth. Notice, if you would, he says this, not to knowledge, but temperance. Temperance is self-control. The person that's adding this to the life doesn't lose their temper and fly off the handle. They don't get frustrated and get moody and quiet. How many even know what the word moody means? It means up and down. You don't know whether to pucker or dot. You don't know what's going on. It's just up and down. You don't know if they're happy with you one day or not happy with you. There are a lot of people that are moody. That's not scriptural. Temperance is self-discipline to be the same sweet, godly person in the midst of the storm or in the midst of the sunshine. You know what? I think a lot of us have got a lot of growing to do. When you think about that, are you steady? Temperance, are you consistently controlled within yourself, yielding your spirit to the Lord? Temperance. It literally is ekratos, self-control. Notice, if you would, not only that, to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. Now, I wish this word wasn't in there. You know, I don't even want to fool with that. Patience. But that's, now temperance is the turmoil that's within. Patience is turmoil that's without. He said, add to your faith patience. When something comes from the outside, you have a struggle with this or with that. I mean, maybe you get up in the morning and you go outside and your car doesn't start. And all of a sudden it starts to boil it challenges your temperance. No, keep your patience and let your sweet spirit take control. Notice he says, into patience, godliness. Godliness is the characteristics of God. It is the love of God, but it's primarily his holiness. It's the things he would not do. So that's the reason when the passage we read in 1 Peter was, you know, lay aside all these things. That's a part of the holiness of God. You set aside the things that God does not want in our life, and we turn to the things God does want in our life. It's twofold. It's turning away from things that are evil and turning toward things that are good. That's holiness. A person that's holy doesn't curse, but they don't say words that are hurtful either. They turn away from those kind of things, and they turn toward Christ. Let your words be always with grace. Pleasant words, kind words, even in the midst of the storm. We just learn to keep our spirit that we're always graceful. That means we have a lot of growing to do. Our spirit doesn't get in turmoil. We don't get angry and upset in our heart. It doesn't matter if we sit there and stew. The Lord is saying, I want you to have inner control, temperance, so that it doesn't affect your outer spirit. It doesn't affect your countenance. Now, notice with me, if you would, he says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. That's goodness to other people. And then finally, brother, kindness, charity. Now, take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians. I just want you to see two verses of charity. Notice 1 Corinthians 13. And he said, now we're to add charity to our hearts. So every morning on my prayer list, I say, Lord, help me to love you more and to love people more. Or please help me to love people more. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's define charity according to the Lord's definition. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. Charity suffereth long. So am I going to suffer long with people? Charity envieth not. Boy, I wished I was like that. I wish I could have. Now, I'll struggle with this one because I envy when Scott gets up to sing. He gets up to sing and I said, man, I'd love to sing like that, man. Or some of the other folks in our church, I'd love to sing like that. And so I said, Lord, one of these days, by your grace, I'm going to be able to sing like that. It was Michaela's birthday, and we sang the other night. Well, Micah sang. We all other attempted to sing. And so the idea is, you know, I want to sing the Lord. I want to have this joy about my spirit. But you'll notice he says, I don't want to let envy get in my heart. Boy, I wished I had that. You don't envy somebody else. Love never envies. Oh, Lord, just a little bit sometimes? No. Listen to the next one. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't lift itself up when you hear someone else. Hey, did you know so-and-so won this award? Did you know so-and-so did this? You don't think, well, I can do that too. Love doesn't do that. I'm to rejoice in every blessing you get. You get a bonus. You get a big bonus at work. I ought to rejoice about that if I love you. My spirit should never say, if I'm growing in Christ, well, I'd like to have that. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Well, that's not fair. Anybody ever said that to your spirit got up and said, that's not fair? It doesn't get puffed up. Notice the next one, verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. doesn't behave itself in a manner not becoming Christ, seeketh not her own. Ooh, that's a hard one. Love doesn't seek its own. You love somebody, you want them to be blessed. And you're never jealous of it. You want them to be taken care of. You want them to have the blessings of life. I guess the best picture of this, when I read that one section of scripture, is a little illustration I read in Africa. I can name the country, but the word slipped me. I think it's Sudan. But there was a mother that was dying, and she had a little baby, a newborn, 6-8 months old, laying on her chest, and the baby was crying, and she had a worker that was a relief worker, gave her a potato. It was baked, and she reached over and bit it and took the potato and chewed it up. And she said, I watched, the worker said, I watched her take her baby, put its mouth up next to hers, and push the potato into the baby's mouth. The baby lived. She did not. Love seeketh not her own. Do you want your husband to be successful, even if it costs you something? Do you want your wife to be blessed, even if it costs you something? I'm afraid in our society, we want equal billing. But if you add charity to your life, then you add this to the people around you. I want you to succeed, even if I don't. Seeketh not her own. Well, I want that too. Is not easily provoked. That's true love. Are you patient with your mate? Or does every little thing they do just burn you up? Or do you notice everything they do wrong? Is not easily provoked. And here's one that really could get probably all of us if we're not careful. Thinketh no evil. Do you think evil about your mate? Do you think evil about your brother or sister? About another teenager in the youth group? Your first thought, well, I know why they did that. I had somebody recently said that someone in our church did something. And I said, I don't believe they did that. So I went and checked with the people that they said this person did it to. And not a one of them knew what I was talking about. And I had to go back to that mate and say, your mate did not do what you said. You know what the response was? Oh. That's not the response of one growing in grace. And if you're forgiving and you're excited your mate succeeds one day, are you that way every day? Are you growing in grace? Folks, I just hope you can see tonight that all of us have room to grow in Christ. Every one of us. We can't look at ourselves and say, well, I had a great year last year. We've got thousand things we could look at and say, but I could grow in this and I could do this. I could work at being more positive to my mate. You know, one of the things that I so loved about Susan that I will treasure forever, she never thought I did wrong. If somebody went up and said, you know, your husband did this, she didn't believe him. It's like, man, that was the coolest thing. I had carte blanche. You could go tell my wife, did you know your husband did so-and-so? He didn't do that. She always gave me the benefit of the doubt. Oh, I love being married to her for that. Do you understand? That's the definition of love. Thinketh no evil. Now, tonight, I want to urge you to look at your life and say, am I working at growing? Am I working at being more in the image of Christ today than I was last week? Now, you can grow tremendously in a month's time if you work at it. But you can also take the idea, I want to be a back rye blue spruce. I just grow to so high, that's good enough. I don't think the Lord wants that for anybody in this room. Because you know what the standard is? It's perfection. It's Christ. And we'll never get there. But you'll never even get close if you don't try and work at it and plead with the Lord and be desperate about it. Now, I want you to notice this, and we'll be done tonight. But take your Bible back, if you would, and notice in this same passage, 1 Corinthians 13, take those thoughts and ask yourself, am I adding love in my life? Am I growing like I should in the love of God for my mate, for my children, for my parents, for my mother and father? Do I give my parents the benefit of the doubt when they say, no, I can't do something? Or am I always thinking, man, I wish I had a different set of parents. Better watch yourself, you're not growing in Christ. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll close. Verse 15. Now, in verse 12, he says, for the perfecting of the saints. In other words, for making the saints mature in Christ. That's the word perfection, is to make us mature in Christ. Full grown, where we're able to handle the storms of life with sweetness and grace. Where we handle the storms of life, the stresses of life, with the graces that we've grown into. We're patient, we're loving, we're caring, we're self-disciplined, we're temperate in all things. We have virtue beyond our mate's wildest imagination. Notice, if you would, he said, for the perfecting of the saints, and look down in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Remember steadfastness, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, we grow strong in the steadfastness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And sleight is dice playing of men. It is the card gambling of men. It is not that which is, that's what you can be deceived with. And he says, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even in Christ. So he says that you may grow up in Christ. And then that is the precursor to all of the rest of the chapter. Now let me flip back over, if you'll notice. Keep going, chapter 4, and look with me, if you would, in verse number 28. Now, he says, speaking the truth in love, here's the truth in love, that you may grow up into him. So here's the part of that we're growing in him. But that we do what? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather him labor, working with his hands, that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So a part of spiritual growth and growing in grace is that you don't think about taking someone else's God. You think about giving them something you have. That's spiritual growth. That's not something you think about yourself. You're thinking about others. And notice, if you would, in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's spiritual growth. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking, that's spiritual growth. And finally, verse 32, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. There's the characteristics that we must shed and get rid of. And you know, if you've got a plant and it's growing, it can get various bugs on it. You have to spray it to get rid of those bugs, or they will kill the tree. It's the same way in the spiritual life. If you don't say, Lord, help me to get rid of this attitude. Lord, help me to get rid of this nasty thought of immorality. Lord, help me to get rid of this nasty idea of taking. I wish I could take from him and so I could have it for myself. Get rid of the things that cause your life to stop growing. And add the things that help you to grow. Virtue, knowledge, charity, the love of God. Now listen, folks, tonight, you're the only one that can do that. But I can tell you this, you'll have one of the sweetest marriages on earth if you grow in grace this year. You'll be one of the most blessed brothers or sisters. And your brothers or sisters say, well, I don't know what happened to you, but I just want you to know I'm glad you're my brother. I'm glad you're my sister if you grow in grace this year. If you grow in grace this year at work, the people around you, your boss is going to say, man, I just want you to know you're a blessing. Because if you're growing in grace, you can't help but be like Christ. Tonight, are you growing in grace? Could I challenge you? And we'll say more about it. There's other passages I want to get to. I said it was last verse. Let me just show you one more. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. This is the one that got me. I have to come back to it. Of course, all these verses hit me in my heart. But this one was one that I never really, I don't know. 1 Timothy 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, and listen to these words, supplications. Now, you know what that is? That's desperate prayer. And prayers. That's simple asking. And intercessions. You know what intercessions are? It's pleading for someone else that can't plead for themselves. Interceding. Lord, their marriage is struggling. Would you bless them? Lord, this person is without a job. Lord, would you provide for them? You take on their weight of burden for yourself, and you pray about it before the Lord. Intercessions. And notice this, and giving of thanks. And here's the passage I never put together with that. For who? All men. There's nobody that you should look at and not pray for. I never saw that before. To grow in the grace of the Lord, I need to be praying for everybody, not in just this church. I can pray for you, but outside the church. I meet somebody at the grocery store. Lord, would you bless this person? Now, I may not know their names, but the idea is that I have a compassion for everybody in the world. And notice, if you would, verse 2, for kings, presidents, congressmen, for all that are in authority, police officers, firemen, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have, here's what you pray for, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We pray for our missionaries and the people they work with. I wish I could tell you I do that. I'm going to add it to my list. My prayer list gets longer and longer the closer I get to Christ. And that's why I think the Lord Jesus sometimes went up to a mountain and prayed. How long? All night. You know why? He's praying for everybody. Tonight, are you growing in the Lord? Is your prayer list longer this year than it was last year? Do you even have one? Do you have an actual prayer list? Do you have a list of things you're reading? You're adding knowledge to your heart. Folks, tonight, could I plead with you? You know, we ought to have a purpose. I want to be in the Lord's house. You know, one of the things, I want you to come to church to learn about the Lord. Oh, I can't make you come to church, number one, and I can't make you come to church with the right attitude, that you come in and sit down and say, Lord, teach me something tonight. Lord, would you take whatever, Pastor Pittman, take the word of God and drive it to my heart. I went outside in the lobby, and Brother Sam was back there. And he's a Bears fan, and the Bears are playing now. And I said, now, well, you don't know, I'm a Cowboys fan, but I never pray for the Cowboys. Never. You want to know why? Because I get too much into it, and I don't care anymore. I want them to win, but I'm not going to get so to the point where I got to pray for them. Because when I do, I get into it with my heart. It's a protection that I put in years ago. I'm not, if they win, they win. I want them to win, but I'm not going to involve the Lord. There's too many other things more important in my time to take than to pray for the Cowboys to win, period. So I don't do that. So I walked up to Sam and I said, hey, Sam, I'm sorry your team's playing tonight, but you know, you'll be able to watch it tonight when you get home. And he stone-faced, as you know Sam is, didn't say a word. He walked off and he turned up his radio and he was listening to it on the radio in the lobby. I said, Sam, that's not what I'm talking about. He just laughed, turned it off, walked off. He was joking with me. But you know, there are some people, they come and their heart is someplace else. No, that's not Sam. He was teasing with me. But I'm afraid there's a lot of us that are just like that. We're doing the right thing, but our heart's not in it. Young people, please don't let that be the case. Desire with all of your heart to grow in grace. Let's bow for a prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, would you help us tonight to look into our lives, Lord, as you've already burdened my heart in many ways. Lord, please help me to grow in you this year more than I ever have. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to add all those graces that I read in 2 Peter. Lord, help me to gain all the definition of love in my heart for people. People that are good to me, people that are not. Lord Jesus, help me to intercede for people that don't even know they're lost. Lord Jesus, would you help the people of Temple Baptist Church to grow like you? Speak to their heart tonight. Dear Holy Spirit, go up and down every seat and speak to our hearts tonight. Challenge us to be more like you. Help us to set goals and to work at them. For your name's sake, we ask it. Amen.